I've reported other people's stories for a long time, confronting people in power. But behind this broadcast voice, I've hidden my greatest secret. I was in an abusive marriage. It lasted a year, but it changed my life. Part of me always blamed myself for what happened, and I've lived with the shame. So many of us live like this. It's time we change that. I'm Anna Maria Tremonti. Welcome to Paradise is My Story. Available now on CBC Listen and everywhere you get your podcasts.
This is a CBC podcast.
Hello, I'm Matt Galloway, and this is The Current Podcast. The federal government is warning we could be on the cusp of yet another catastrophic fire season.
The temperature trends are very concerning. With the heat and dryness across the country, we can expect that the wildfire season will start sooner and end later and potentially be more explosive.
That's Emergency Preparedness Minister Harjit Sajjan speaking with reporters yesterday. He announced a series of measures in preparation for this year's wildfires, training new firefighters, better coordination of resources, tax credits for volunteer firefighters, and more. All of this is meant to help protect Canadians against what, as you heard, could be another historic fire season. Blair Feltmate is head of the INTAC Centre on Climate Adaptation at the University of Waterloo. Blair, good morning.
Good morning.
I think a lot of us still remember those skies of last summer, orange and hazy and smoky, in places that seemed like they were a long way away from where the wildfires were. There were fires from coast to coast. What are we thinking is going to happen this year? If you look at your predictions, how will what could come this year compare to what we saw last year?
Well, the minister was correct. We've had three factors that create conditions whereby the wildfires we could expect this summer could very much be on par with what we saw last year. And it was limited snowpack across the country, relatively dry conditions across the country, and a hot or a warm spring. So those three things come together on top of just the normal drivers of climate change that are also over the longer term driving wildfires to be problematic. It's all of those factors in combination. So we're going to head into a challenging season.
We learned yesterday that the snowpack in British Columbia, for example, is at a record low.
Yes. And so Northern Alberta, British Columbia are two areas that are cited as being, you know, particularly problematic for wildfires this season, Eastern Ontario and also Southern Quebec. But having said that, the fire risk is in the best locations in Canada, it's at moderate. So, and everything beyond that is even more challenging.
We saw that last year, again, in Nova Scotia, where there were fires in the outskirts of Halifax.
Yes. Huh. And so in areas that you typically may not have seen them in the past, they're now, you know, for lack of a better way of saying it, popping up everywhere.
And so yesterday, the federal government, in addition to announcing what might be coming, announced these measures that it's taken and is continuing to take in preparation for what might come this summer. What stands out to you?
Well, I give the government credit for, you know, some of the factors you listed just a minute or two ago. They're putting a lot more money into purchasing firefighting equipment, into training volunteer firefighters, giving tax credits to volunteer firefighters, advancing payments to community to better prepare for fires, and supporting vegetation management within communities. These are all good things to do. The one thing that is still, though, missing in the country to a large extent is giving direction to homeowners, those that live in forested, in grassland regions, direction on how to better prepare their homes now, like before the fire shows up, how to better prepare their homes to make it such that when fire does come into a region, the probability of the house burning is much, much lower. And by being proactive at the level of the house, in anticipation of the fire, you can lower the probability that the house will burn down by about 50 to 75%. So we need to get these actions, this information into the hands of homeowners to help them better prepare for the fires. And I think the government could push that agenda more aggressively.
Let me come back to that. You mentioned those who would fight those fires. We saw last year those plane loads of firefighters coming in from abroad, from all over the world, to help deal with the catastrophe that was unfolding here. Is that going to be necessary again? Do we have, and we'll talk about volunteer fighters in a moment, but broadly, do we have the resources here of people who can fight the fires that may be coming?
No, I think we're still going to be drawing on people coming from, you know, various parts of the world and as far away as Australia to help us fight our fires. But then it works in the reverse direction, though, as well, because in those countries, they're also realizing, fire seasons that are more challenging. And when we will make our people available to them to go to those countries and help them put out their fires. So it's a sort of a global effort of cooperation to fight the fires.
We have talked on this program before about the difficulty of recruiting and retaining volunteer firefighters. Canada has lost something like 30,000 volunteer firefighters since 2016. I mentioned, and you hinted at, these tax credits. What is that going to do to encourage people to sign up for this volunteer work?
Well, it's a bit of an experiment because they're doubling the tax credit from $3,000 to $6,000 to encourage the volunteer firefighters. The degree to which that will incentivize them to remain or someone to become a volunteer firefighter remains unknown. But it's not an immaterial step. Like, it seems to me to be a laudable step that the government is being creative in trying to build a bigger army to fight wildfires.
Part of this is also just preventing the fires in the first place. And so you've talked a little bit about being fire prepared and doing the work around homes and in communities to prevent the spread of fire. What can be done now? I mean, it's now, the 11th of April. And so what can be done in this moment to try to prepare for what might be coming in the months ahead?
Well, literally in this moment, and by that I mean over this weekend, for people that have homes in areas that are subject to fire, and it could be their home or cottages in forested regions, it's actions as simple as around the house, removing shrubbery within 1.5 to 2 meters of the wall of the house, such that if shrubbery is there right up against the wall of the house, it ignites, that heat transfers into the house, and the house burns down. So get rid of that shrubbery within 2 meters of the wall of the house and put river stone or some other attractive material in there, but that which doesn't burn. Don't store your wood at the back door of the house. Get it at least 10 meters away from the house, your firewood. If you have, for example, a wood fence that travels up to the house, replace it with chain length fence, because right now what happens is the fires occur, the fences ignite, and the fire just follows the wooden fence right up to the house and the house burns down. You can have fireproof cladding on the walls of your house to make it such that if the flames hit it, it doesn't actually ignite. And then, very importantly, and by the way, there's a longer array of steps here, but very importantly, install fire-resistant roof covering on your house. And it could be cement, fiber, metal, or asphalt shingles that make it such that when the embers land on the house, and embers can travel scores of kilometers, when embers land on the roof of the house, the roof doesn't ignite and the house doesn't burn down if you have the proper type of roof. So there's, or even if you have large coniferous trees on your property in close proximity to the house, the needle-bearing trees, when they ignite, they go up literally like a torch and the heat transfers to the house and the house burns down. So cut those trees down if they're within 10 meters of the house.
Just finally, what should we be thinking about when it comes to air quality? I mentioned those smoky days. And I mean, if you were out in here in Toronto, I was in Calgary, I was in Edmonton, and you felt it in your lungs. What should we be doing to prepare for air quality issues this year?
Yeah. So the problem is the fine particulate matter is called PM 2.5. In other words, stuff that's a fraction the thickness of a human hair. These smoke particles travel hundreds, if not thousands, of kilometers. And as you mentioned, we could see that in major cities last year, the haziness. People need to keep N95 masks close by when they're outside during these conditions to filter out the air that they're breathing. Indoors, people may want air filters in their house, high quality air filters to get the particulates out of the air in the house. They want to follow the air quality health index that's issued regularly due the summer to give them indication as to, you know, when they might want to modify outdoor behavior, given if the air quality index is low. And paying particular attention to the air quality health index are people that have respiratory and cardiac challenges. Young children are vulnerable to poor air quality, pregnant women, and then outdoor workers. They should all be paying attention to the air quality. And but starting with, make sure you have a good quality N95 mask nearby.
Be ready now for what's coming.
Yes.
Blair, we'll leave it there. Thank you very much.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Blair Feltmite is the head of the INTACT Center on Climate Adaptation at the University of Waterloo.
For more CBC podcasts, go to cbc.ca/podcasts.